one of the things that has really made, has been so closely associated with what you do is the quality of customer service. It's about the customer, and that's clear. That's what it was. So what happens in a world where margins are shrinking, where customer service is being, not commoditized, but it's being automated? And how do you stay competitive? How are you going to do that? And again, you know, I'm not trying to dig here anywhere where I shouldn't be going. I'm trying to get a chance just to tell the story as you see it and how you see the world of retail developing.
Yeah, I think it just really depends on what business you want to be in, and not everyone can be a customer, and not every potential product is something that we would necessarily sell on Zappos. So there are certain types of products like electronics, for example, where the margins are really small. And so to your point, there really isn't a business model that's made sense for us where it's high customer service and at the same time, it's a viable business model. There's also plenty of businesses out there that are based on offering the highest discounts and lowest prices. And for us, we want customers to buy from us because they care about the customer service and the customer experience. And so we really focus on those types of customers, customers that value time over money, customers that care about people caring about them, and customers that really we feel like we can form a personal emotional connection with.
Do you find that you have to, that you have customers that call in and ask for a customer service rep that they've dealt with before?
We definitely get those requests. Usually it's during the call or towards the end of a call. They ask, oh, I love talking to you. How can I call you again? And so unfortunately, there's not a great way to do that just because people are on different shifts, or if they call back, that person might be busy talking to another customer. But one of the things we do make sure we do is, for no matter who they're dealing with, all the notes are put into the customer's account so that whoever answers the phone next can have all the history of the prior conversations.
What we sent you was this intersection of business culture and maintaining values. How do you maintain that? I mean, and how do you build on that despite the fact that people say, you know, culture, it's not that important. I mean, it obviously is to Zappos. So how do you maintain that Zappos culture?
Yeah, so there's actually been research. If you read books like Good to Great by Jim Collins or Tribal Leadership, they looked at what separated the great companies in terms of long-term financial performance from just the good ones or mediocre ones. And one of the key ingredients that they found that the great companies had was that they all had strong cultures. And so for us, we formalized the definition of our culture into 10 core values. And so we actually have our hiring process designed around those values. We basically look for people whose personal values match those, match our corporate values. So our first core value is to deliver wow through service. And we also have a core value of that's create a team and family vibe and atmosphere. We also have a core value of be humble and core value of being adventurous, creative, and open-minded. And so these are all things that we look for during the interview process. And what we found is if we actually get the hiring part right, then the rest of it is just so much easier. The other thing that we do is our performance reviews and sometimes include culture and how much they're living, inspiring the culture in others. But also, there have been occasions when we will actually fire someone just because of culture issues, even if they're doing their specific job function perfectly well. And I think most companies aren't willing to do that. Like if someone is a star performer but bad for the culture, then usually they'll allow that person to stay. Whereas for us, it's not even really a question because we've defined their job performance. Part of their job performance is living in inspiring their culture and others.
Is everybody at Zappos working here other than at the distribution center? Or do you have people working offsite? I mean, do you have people who work at home or something like that? Or is it, or is everybody here in the building?
Yeah, pretty much everyone is here on campus. We do have a small San Francisco office, that, and so that's, I think, 5 or 10 people, but everyone else is here.
So you find that because the American family structure has become so splintered that building a family structure in the business is what helps keep people sort of sane, even though you like them to have that twist of creativity and as we were being told regularly on the tour, it's this little streak of madness. But the just the idea that everybody's very, very friendly. Everybody is very open. Everybody is very greets each other all the time. And families aren't like that anymore.
Yeah, I don't know if it's really so much a result of the splintered family structure that you're referring to, but for us, we really want employees to bring their full selves to the office. You know, there's so many people in other corporate environments where they're a different person on weekends hanging out with their friends than when they show up to the office, and they end up leaving a little part of themselves, or you know, a lot of cases, a big part of themselves at home. And we want employees to, you know, not just be known by their job titles or just their job descriptions. We want employees to not just relate to each other as coworkers, but to relate to each other as friends. And you know, in order to do that, you need to be more than just your job description.
Do you think it's a culture that can be exported to other businesses?
I don't know if the answer is really to try to export the culture here. I think every company and business has its own unique culture. But I do think that the general philosophy of encouraging employees to be human, to bring their full selves to work and to express their creative selves, I think that's something that hopefully over time more and more businesses will start adopting.
What about your own personal interaction with the employees? I mean, do you find that people just bounce up to you and chat? Or, I mean, how much are you in with the team? I mean, I saw the work environment, obviously, on the tour. But you're still the CEO, and they're still the employees. Is there a divide?
I think probably the best analogy would be it's kind of like when I went to college. We have about 1,500 employees here, and in college you have some people that are close friends and some people that are acquaintances and some people that you might not know. And same thing is here. My close friends see me as Tony, the guy, not Tony, the CEO. And then probably people that don't know me, because they don't know me, see me as Tony, the CEO. So, yeah, that's one of those things that I think just kind of evolves naturally over time.
Many years ago, we did a project with a large company based in Virginia. And it was very interesting because we had a meeting in the boardroom and some of the team A came in and sat down, and team B came in and sat down. And it turned out that these women on one side of the table, even though they'd been doing business with the women on the other side of the table from the other team on a different floor, had never met. In 5 years they'd been working together, they had never met. So there had never been that collision, that spark of people being able to sit down face-to-face and work together. And we were really quite sure. I mean, it was
staggered.
It was sprint, wasn't it?
No, it was, Nextel.
It was Nextel.
At the time.
Yeah.
It was staggering. I mean, literally, one was on floor number 2, and the other ones were on floor number 5 of the building. And in all those years, they'd never felt the urge to meet. Is that come?
That's not something that would happen here.
Beyond our imagination.
I can't even imagine how that would, even if we tried. At some point, you would think you'd run into someone in the elevator or somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk a bit about downtown, because it's spectacular. Having been in Las Vegas a long time ago when this part of town was almost a no-go zone, what you've spearheaded or been part of with the other partners and stuff is, well, first of all, as it were, off the record, it's absolutely brilliant. I mean, it's we were surprised. We were walking down late one night.
Why is that off the record?
Well,
don't you want people
to
know?
I'll keep it right. Well, because, you know, I'm trying to keep it business-wise, but right. We saw people, literally a team of people who were cleaning up after the Tuesday night party or whatever, and they were chipping the chewing gum off the sidewalk.
With a spatula.
With a spatula. I have never seen that before. I've never seen people care enough about an environment that they would get down on their hands and knees and have a team of people cleaning up and doing it, obviously, very happily.
Yeah, and it was obviously part of what they expected to be doing. I mean, it's part of the policy. It wasn't like somebody saying, isn't this weird they told us to do this crazy job? Mm-hmm. They thought this was what you should do. Well, you should look after your city.
Yeah, so it's interesting because most people, when they think Las Vegas, think of all the casinos on the Strip. And as it turns out, those are actually not even within the city limits of Las Vegas. Or if they know anything about downtown, it's the overhead light show, the old casinos. And yet they don't realize that if you just walk a few blocks east to this area called Fremont East, which is basically where all the locals hang out, it's a completely different side of Vegas. It's almost the complete opposite of the Strip. There's no gaming. It's a very community feel. And you know, I've never lived in a place where all the bar owners and cafe owners and restaurant owners all hang out in each other's small businesses just to support the community. And so I think that vibe is pretty amazing and pretty special.
How did you get involved in it? What sort of made you take it up as a cause?
Well, originally, so when Zappos moved to, we were originally from the San Francisco Bay Area, and when we moved to the Vegas region, we had about 90 employees at the time. About 70 ended up moving with us, and we've grown over time to now we're at about 1,500 employees. And through that process, we were originally in a suburb of Vegas called Henderson. We expanded into three different buildings, and that had a very real impact on our culture. The people in the building at the top of the hill never saw the people in the other buildings. And so we started looking for a place where we could build a permanent campus, where we could house everyone under one roof and have enough land to expand upon. And it was surprisingly hard to find it in any area of the Vegas Valley. And then we found out that the city was building a new city hall, and the former city hall was becoming available. And it was one of those things that seemed almost too good to be true. So we ended up deciding to move here, and we decided to take an approach that was different from most other corporate campuses that are actually really insular and don't really integrate or contribute to the community around them, and instead decided on an approach where we wanted our employees to go out into the community, and we wanted to invite people in the community onto our campus and get those collisions and those interactions. And so as part of that, myself and a few other early Zappos employees started Downtown Project, which is a separate company. And the idea was really to invest in small businesses and tech companies and really help make the whole neighborhood more walkable and make it a desirable place for not only our employees, but people in the community as well.
And bringing people in, I mean, so that it's livable. I mean, we went to the market and we went around this morning. It's an extraordinarily livable city life.
It's changed rapidly. 2 years ago, I would have felt unsafe standing by myself in front of where Container Park is now. And so Container Park is a combination of a place for showcasing local musicians, and there's also 40 small businesses, a small business incubator. It was designed to be kid and family friendly, and over the past year and a half, we've had almost 2 million visitors now come to the park. And so it's just a fun place to live now, because with so many small business investments and other companies and businesses opening up on their own, there's a new grand opening of something every single week now.
That's amazing. And you're involved in another project. Tell me about Airstream Park.
Oh, yeah. So about 6 months ago, a group of friends and I decided to actually, there was this half a city block that was empty in the middle of downtown, in the middle of all this stuff that we've been working on. And we brought in 20 Airstreams and 10, they're called Tumbleweed Tiny Houses. And basically, the idea was, let's create a urban version of Burning Man, almost, where every night there's campfires going on, and sometimes there's people playing guitar on certain nights of the week. Local musicians come in and just jam together. Last night, we had an event there where there was a taco stand and llamas running around, and I think a baby goat. And a couple hundred people came by because there was a conference here called the Collision Conference. And so it was an event we held for the speakers. So it's just a fun place to live. And I've lived there for about 6 months now. And every day there's different people that stop by that are completely random. So today, for example, Richard Branson stopped by, and a couple weeks ago, Sarah Jessica Parker stopped by, and then, yeah, it's just, I guess, kind of the serendipity that happens there happens way more often than anywhere else I've lived.
How do you like living in an airstream?
I love it. It's, I mean, I really think of it as having the world's largest living room. You go outside and, you know, there's over an acre of land that's community space that we all hang out in.
It's, I have a friend who spends all her life in it. Hmm?
2 minutes.
Okay. Who spends her life traveling the country in an airstream? Yeah.
Two things. One, the thing that strikes me, that there's one huge common thread that seems to go through everything you touch, you do, and that is people.
I guess, isn't that people true for
everyone? I mean, you seem to.
Yeah, I wish she was.
No, I don't think it is everyone.
No, I don't think it is.
I think you're quite extraordinary. Right?
I used to throw a lot of parties 10 or 15 years ago, so I liked thinking about how do you create environments where people want to talk to each other or have these serendipitous encounters, and kind of took that same philosophy for our office environment, thinking about how do we get employees to collide. And so whether it's the Airstream Park or at the city level, I guess it's all kind of the same concept, just at a different scale. And I guess for me, it's, yeah, just really trying to think about how do you create or architect the best greenhouse that enables everyone to flourish.
Is there anything that
we didn't notice, didn't think to ask, that you just want to add?
Come visit Container Park and the new downtown Vegas.
Will do.
I have one curious question, if I may, still before we close.
Go ahead.
A few years ago, you made a deal with Amazon. Culturally, so incredibly different, other than the fact that they want to have happy customers. How have you managed to preserve, strengthen your own culture? Is there anything that really sticks out for you?
It was just an agreement that we had made prior to the acquisition. We said we would only agree to it if Zappos could continue with our own separate culture and way of doing business, and they agreed to it, and we really just view them as the equivalent of our board of directors.
So there's been no clash?
No.
No.
I mean, if anything, they actually give us more leeway than our previous board of directors.
Well, that's good.
Lovely. Thank you so much.
Tony, thank you for your time. Thank you for making the time.